We are 18 lines up from the bottom of Daf Dalet Amud Aleph. Mishtabeach lehu Rabbi Avohu lemini Barav Safra de Adam Gadol. Who? Rabbi Avohu was praising Rav Safra to a heretic. What was the purpose of praising him, singing his praises? It's to get Rav Safra out of paying taxes. Apparently the heretics, although they weren't believers, nevertheless they would still give benefits to great men or great people. So Shavkale Michse de Tleser Shnin, as a result of Rabbi Avohu's praising of Rav Safra, Rav Safra was exempt from paying taxes for 13 years. Yom Achad, I guess one time during these 13 years, Ashkechuhu, they found Rav Safra. They finally ran into him. They heard that he was an Adam Gadol, so they figured they might as well test him. Amrule, they said to Rav Safra, Ksiv, the Pasuk says in Amos, Rak itchem yadati mikol mishpachos ha'adama, al kain efkor aleichem es kol avonoseichem. God says, I only know you from everybody else, and therefore I'm going to hold you accountable for everyone's sins. And that seems strange, ask the heretics. Man di islay sisi berachme masikle. Someone who has anger is going to take it out on his beloved ones? Out of all people, they're the last ones you should take out your anger on. So what's the understanding of the pasuk? Ishtik v'lo amr lehu v'lo midi. Rav Safra didn't have an answer for them. Ramule sudra b'tzavare v'kamutzarule. Well, they got upset. They felt that, oh, Rav Safra is a fraud. Everything that Rabbi Avohu said was not true. So they took a handkerchief and began to strangle them. Now, by the way, the Iyun Yaakov asks, what's the significance of taking this sudar and placing it around his neck? Why would they do this? They thought that really he wasn't a fraud, perhaps, but rather he knew the answer, he just didn't want to say anything. And David HaMelech taught that if someone knows the answer, knows what to say, and doesn't, then you're supposed to choke them until they give you the answer. So that's what they were doing. They were mimicking David HaMelech. Apparently these heretics are very knowledgeable. Asa Rabbi Avohu Ashkechinu. It just worked out. It just so happened that Rabbi Avohu was walking down the road and ran into this episode and saw Rav Safra being choked by the heretics. Amr Lehu, so Rav Abo said, Amai Mitzarisule, what are you doing to him? Amrule, they said to Rabbi Avohu, V'lav Amrit Lan de Adam Gadolhu, didn't you tell us that he was a great man? He doesn't even know how to interpret this verse. Amr Lehu, Rabbi Avo says back to them, to the heretics, Amr de Amri Lehu b'tanoi, b'kray mi Amri Lehu. I said he was good, he was Adam Gadol. He was an Adam Gadol with regards to Gemara, with Torah Shebal Peh. He's not an Adam Gadol with regards to Psukim, with regards to Tanakh. He sounds like a regular 2016 yeshiva guy. We don't know the Chumash, we just know the Gemara. Amrule, they said to Rabbi Avohu, Maishna atun diaditun. Well, why do you know? Why do you know the answer, the explanation, which we're going to see in a moment, that he is able to interpret the pasuk? Why is it that you would know this thing and not him? Amrulehu, Rabbi Avohu said, Anan d'shchichinan gabeichon, ramina nanafshinu ma'aynin. I happen to live in this community with all these heretics, and therefore it's my responsibility to know Tanakh in order to dispel any questions that's people place on the Torah. But Inu, he lives in the shtetl. Lo ma'ayni, he doesn't need to look and spend time explaining why biblical criticism is incorrect. He just has to study Torah Shebal Peh. That's all. That's his responsibility. Amrule lemalan at. Okay, so then Rabbi Avohu, tell us the explanation. Give us the interpretation of this pasuk. Why is God going to hold accountable the people that He loves? Amr lehu emshol lechamashol lemahadaver dome. I will explain, give you the parable. You can compare this to La Adam Shenosha Mishnei Bnei Adam, a person who's collecting money from two people, Echad Ohavo Vechad Sona, one person he loves and one person he hates. Ohavo Nifra Mimenu Me'at Me'at, Sono Nifra Mimenu Bebasachas. The person that he loves, he'll collect them the money from them slowly, in piecemeal. But the ones that he hates, he's going to ask for all the money up front, in one shot. So too, as Rashi explains, when God collects the sins of the Jewish people, he collects them slowly but surely in this world, so that in the next world, they will be free from sin, or free from punishment, that is, as opposed to the Rishayim, or the ones that God does not like. He will make sure that he collects their sins and punishes them all in one shot, which is in the next world, in order that they do not have a chance to appreciate the beauty of Olam Haba. Now the Gemara continues on a somewhat different topic, but still talking about some sort of retribution. Amar of Abba Barkana, May dechsiv chalila lecha me'asos kadavar hazeh l'hamis tzadik im rasha. What does the verse mean when Avram said to God, it is chalila, it's forbidden to do such a thing, that you're going to destroy the city of Sodom when there are righteous people together with the wicked people. It's one thing to destroy the wicked, but you shouldn't destroy the righteous with them. Amar Avram lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Avram said to God, Ribono shel Olam, chulin hu me'asos kadavar hazeh l'hamis tzadik im rasha. It's chulin, it's profane. You can't do such a thing. Now before we continue with the Gemara, the Mefarshim, the Marasha, and others ask that the author, Rabbi Abba, knows, should be familiar with the traditional statement in all throughout Shas, which is that Mikivan Shenitin Rishus Lamashchis Eino Mavchin Bein Sadek LaRasha, that once the angel of death is given permission to destroy, he doesn't distinguish between a tzaddik and a rasha. He just kills everyone in his sight. That is oftentimes a rationale given for tragic events where many Jews are killed. That's some way that people find it comforting. I don't find it comforting, but that's certainly a way to understand how you could justify something so tragic like a Holocaust where so many righteous people were killed. But nevertheless, the Rabbi Abba must know that statement. So what exactly is he adding on here? What does the verse mean? Of course, we know that once a person is, once the Malach HaMaves, the Mashchis, is able to destroy, he doesn't make a distinction between Tzaddik and Rasha. So the way that the Marsha and others explain is that Avram is not asking about from the perspective of Bnei Adam, of Basar V'Adam, but from God's perspective. You, God, you know how to distinguish, and therefore it's Chalila, it's Chulin for you. You shouldn't do this. You shouldn't allow this to happen. But nevertheless, he did. But Avram says you shouldn't. And the Gemara says velo, but is it really true that God shouldn't distinguish, that God should distinguish between a tzaddik and a rasha? Haksiv hichrati mimcha tzaddik v'rasha. That in Yecheskel, God talks about destroying a tzaddik together with a rasha. So what do you mean? Does God destroy a tzaddik and a rasha together? Or does he keep them, or is it chulin? Or do we keep this separate? So the Gemara answers, b'tzadik she'eno gamur. A person who is a tzaddik, but not a completely righteous person, that is someone who deserves to be destroyed with a rasha. Aval b'tzadik gamur, lo. But as someone who is fully righteous, they have a different standing, and they should not be killed together with a rasha. V'haksiv u'mikdashi techelu, but the pasuk in Yecheskel talks about the angels who were asked to go and destroy Yerushalayim, and were told, Mikdashit Echelo, you begin at the Mikdash, at the sanctuary. V'tanei Rav Yosef, Al Tikri Mimikdashai Ela Mimikudashai. And they interpret it to mean that God said to them, don't begin at my sanctuary, but begin by killing those most sanctified to me. Elu b'nei Adam shekimuas Atorah me'alaf yatav. The people who have accomplished the Torah from Aleph Ataf, they know it all. Those are the ones, when you go to destroy Yerushalayim, those are the ones you're going to kill first. But why are we doing that? That sounds like we're killing a tzaddik gamor, fully righteous people, together with a tzaddik she'eno gamor, and with Rishayim. Hasam Nami, the Gemara answers, Kivan Shehaya Biyadam Limchos Velomichu Havaluhu Kitzadikim She'enam Gemurim. Since they had the ability to prevent others from sinning, and they didn't, they themselves are viewed as a tzaddik She'eno Gemur, and not a fully righteous person, because they had an opportunity to rebuke, and they didn't. That's why they are punished like everyone else. Now, just before we end off today's podcast, the question that's important for us to answer is, what is the difference between a tzaddik she'eno gamor and a tzaddik gamor? How do you define it? The Gemara in Kedushin writes that a tzaddik gamor is someone who is proficient both in ben adam l'makom and ben adam l'chaveiro. Not only are they a complete tzaddik in their Torah knowledge, but they have derech eretz. They are beyond reproach with regards to their interpersonal relationships. And the Netziv says, the Netziv writes in Parshas Noach, in his Herchev Davar, in Perek Tes, Pasuk Vav, he says, well, hold on a second. To me, it doesn't seem that special to have good midos. You know, it's one thing that a tzaddik is someone who has Torah knowledge. So to say you're a tzaddik gamor because you have good midos, so what's the chiddush? Of course, everyone, you know, it's easy to have good midos. So the Netziv explains that a tzaddik gamor is something different. A tzaddik gamor is someone who not only has Torah knowledge, but by nature, they were a wicked person. They're not a nice person. They're mechutzuf. They're just not a mensch. But they worked on themselves to become that change, and not only were they proficient in Torah knowledge, but they are clearly personification of a mensch. That, says the Netziv, is a tzaddik gamur. May we all merit to become tzaddikim gemurim.